This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray. I'm here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, as we are getting closer to the start of the college football playoff. First round, four games, one on Friday, three on Saturday. Mr. Humans, how are you feeling for the first ever 12-team college football playoff?
Pretty fired up about it. I think this is great, and we're going to see this field expand in the future, but 12 teams is so much better than the system we've had in the past. Tim, I remember writing a column when I worked in Chicago in newspapers in the late 90s about how college football should go to an 8-team playoff. That only took about 30 years to get there. Seriously, what took so long? Seriously, well, you know, this system is so much better than what we previous had. It's a joke, and it's amazing that we went so long with two teams and four teams playing for the national championship. This is better for the books. It's better for the bettors. Everybody involved, fans, even if you're not a bettor. Everything about college football is better because of this 12-team playoff.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and I have been a proponent for it. People said, oh, it's going to devalue the regular season. Couldn't have been further from the truth. We had massive games all throughout the year, and here we are. We've got teams we didn't expect to make the college football playoff, like Indiana, like SMU, and we got teams that we expected to be here in the playoff, like Notre Dame, like Texas. I was about to say Alabama. They are not in it. But yes, we have got a great field ahead of us. By the way, hello to all of you joining us on Twitter, on X at VSiN Live. We are live there, as well as on YouTube, youtube.com/VSiN Live. So chime in and be part of the conversation. And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. We've got four playoff games to get to. We'll hit on a couple bowl games too a little bit later on here in the show, but let's do what we always do, get into the biggest games of the weekend, and we call that the main course.
The main course.
All right, Matt, let's jump right into it. Friday night, South Bend, Indiana. It's going to be cold. There might be some snow there in South Bend. Our colleague, the pride of Indiana University, Wes Reynolds, will be in attendance. He's all fired up. I already talked to him. He's got his Indiana plus 7.5 ticket in pocket. He's going to have a little money line there. Looking at the market right now, as we are about 30 hours or so away from kickoff, pretty much all of the hooks have been scooped up. So we've seen some Indiana backing come into the market. We see some juice sevens. We see some flat sevens. We actually see a 705 at Circa. Total has ticked up a little bit to 52. We're going to dive into this game and dissect it every which way possible. But let's go side and total first here, Matt. Indiana at Notre Dame, 8 p.m. on ABC and ESPN Friday night.
All right, I took 7.5 with the Hoosiers. Also bet this under the total of 51, and got a bad number because now it's 52 out there. I'm going to bet it again under the total of 52. Our buddy Chris the Bear Felica has talked about this for a week to 10 days, how he thinks this is going to be a run-oriented game that's going to be low scoring, and I completely agree with that. I think that's the way both teams are going to play it, Tim. And, you know, maybe the weather is a factor too. You were talking about cold, snow. Are we going to have any winds up in South Bend on Friday night? Anyway, it's going to be great football weather. It's going to be a phenomenal atmosphere. But for Indiana, when you handicap the Hoosiers, and this is Wes Reynolds against Tim Murray.
Yes, it is. Battle.
All right. Indiana's season basically comes down, when you're handicapping this Notre Dame game, Indiana's season comes down to two games, Michigan and Ohio State. How'd the Hoosiers fare against both of those opponents? And let's face it, the Wolverines improved dramatically late in the season. I mean, they went to Columbus without two of their best players and beat the Buckeyes. So you got to give Michigan respect. I know a lot of people were trying to downgrade Indiana because the Hoosiers struggled to beat Michigan 20-15 in that game in Bloomington. Well, you saw what the Wolverines did to the Buckeyes. Don't downgrade Indiana for that. Well, Indiana did have trouble trying to run the ball against both teams. Against Michigan, the Hoosiers ran it 28 times for 40 yards. That includes Curtis Wirtz, minus 28 in sack yards. So a little bit deceiving, but bottom line, Indiana ran for about 2 yards a carry against Michigan. What the Hoosiers do against Ohio State, They ran it 40 times for 85 yards. Again, there were some lost yards on a botched punt and snap, and Curtis Works sack yardage. Indiana's main two running backs, Lawton and Ellison, combined for 32 carries and 141 yards. But Curtis Rourke was 8 for 18 for 68 yards. He really couldn't throw it. Bottom line here, Tim, is I think the Hoosiers are going to have trouble moving the ball against this Notre Dame defense. And Indiana's defensive front is strong enough to hold up to where I don't think the Irish are going to run roughshod over them Friday night. You know, I love this Notre Dame offense, at least what it can do on the ground, with Riley Leonard, Jeremiah Love, and Jadarian Price, two stud running backs. And I've said this many times, I think Riley Leonard is a poor man's Josh Allen type, the way he can escape pressure, get outside the pocket, and he's athletic enough to make plays. Again, Notre Dame, number three in the nation in scoring defense, 13.6 points per game. This Indiana defense has been legit as well. And I think that Ohio State score is a little bit misleading because of the two big blunders on special teams that helped the Buckeyes pull away in that game. Indiana plus 7.5, under the total. I'm going to bet again, under 52.
8 p.m. on Friday, and as mentioned, weather, 10 to 20 mile an hour winds, could see a little bit of snow there. More of the snow, from my understanding, will be early on the day on Friday, so could affect the game, certainly from that standpoint. So, Matt, I want to get into a prop that I played in this particular game, and it's the tight end for Notre Dame, Mitchell Evans. And if you look at a couple of books, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, they all have props that are out there, and I'm sure more will start to percolate here as we get closer. Notre Dame has a tight end in Mitchell Evans that was their go-to receiver a year ago. When they faced Ohio State and really couldn't get much going offensively, they relied on Mitchell Evans. He had 7 catches in that game against Ohio State for 75 yards. And then the following game, when they went on the road to take on then nationally ranked Duke, he had over 100 yards receiving in that game against the Blue Devils. And I bring that up because this year has been a little bit off for Mitchell Evans, the tight end for the Irish. Why? Because he tore his ACL October 28th last year against Pittsburgh and hasn't been 100%. Until recently. His best game of the year came against USC at 5 catches for 59 yards. Now, one of those catches was on a fake punt thrown by former Notre Dame quarterback Tyler Buckner, but still, they're incorporating him more, and everything you hear and you read and you watch about Indiana, they like to play zone defense. I know that's going to be an issue from many that believe that Riley Leonard struggles a bit with zone defense. I think Notre Dame is going to play it smart. They're not going to try to force the ball down the field. They've had some drops that have been a concern there for the Irish, especially Clemson transfer Bo Collins, also Jordan Faison. I think Notre Dame is going to see a mismatch at the tight end position, and the number is 27.5 receiving yards for Mitchell Evans. Now, if you look at so far this year, 27.5, Matt, would seem about on par, right? He has only eclipsed that number twice this season, but it came in 2 of the last 3 games. He's healthy now. I think he's going to be a key target. I wouldn't be opposed to going anytime touchdown with Mitchell Evans, or, you know, alt numbers, 50 plus receiving yards at over 3-1. I think he could have a big game here for the Irish. When it comes to this Notre Dame and how the season has played out, Marcus Freeman has continued to circle back to week 2. A bet that you had on this podcast, Northern Illinois plus 28. Now, I don't know if you had any money line in pocket on that one, but they lost that game 16-14, Matt, and that has been a rallying cry for this Irish team. Let's hear from the head coach, Marcus Freeman.
I would be lying if I say I don't think about, you know, that loss or being upset. Fear is a motivator. And it is what it is. A lot of people are motivated by fear or greed. And there's times that I have to remind myself, what's the result of not preparing the right way?
Now, once again, it's the playoffs. You don't need motivation. Everybody's going to be motivated. But you think back to that Northern Illinois game, 1-10 straight. They've covered 9 of those 10. The only game they did not cover against the closing number was against Miami. So you've seen a different mindset from this Irish team. So I don't have a play on the side or total. I would actually lean a little bit your way on Indiana. I think the curiosity that I have is, is Indiana going to be able to run the ball against the Irish? Northern Illinois could, but as you mentioned, against Ohio State, against Michigan, Indiana really struggled to get it going.
I think Indiana's going to have very little success running the ball. Probably have a few plays here and there where it looks like they're going to be able to run it, but not a lot of consistent success. By the way, Notre Dame, since that loss to Northern Illinois, 10-0, average margin of victory, 30.7 points. This is not going to be a blowout, though. Tim, I think the Irish get by the Hoosiers, survive in advance, win this game by 3, 4, 6, 7, like something like that. But I did take the 7.5. Kurt Cignetti is going to be a tough out.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He is he's fired up, as he should be, to be and have this Indiana team in the college football playoff. This is the first of the four first-round games. This will be on the campus there of Notre Dame. We've seen a little uptick in over money. Interesting to note here from the betting split standpoint over at VSiN.com, 56% of the bets coming in on Indiana plus the points. So pretty split action out there, not overwhelming one side or another when it comes to Notre Dame and Indiana. So one best bet in the books. What do you got?
I like your Mitchell Evans prop. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's very good research and you know, critical thinking about that on your part. I think you put out there on a Twitter poll which upset is most likely to happen in the first round of the college football playoff. What was the result of your Twitter poll?
So right now, you could still vote on it at one Tim Murray for those of you watching with us live. 24% of folks say that it will be Indiana. Number one, Tennessee, 44%. Pretty overwhelming on Tennessee. We will get to Tennessee and Ohio State, but we're going to go in chronological order. How happy will Penn State be at Happy Valley as they host SMU? We'll dive into the Saturday games on the other side. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. Once again, the website, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim Murray here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, joined as always by Matt Eumanns. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We'll have plenty of episodes coming your way because as great as this weekend is, you know, in about 10 days, folks, we get the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Peach Bowl as quarterfinals in the college football playoffs. So very much looking forward to all of that. Real quickly, just a couple of notes here for Notre Dame from an injury standpoint. Howard Cross, who missed the last three games due to a high ankle sprain, is expected back and not expected to have a pitch count. That, according to all of the coaching staff, that is a massive addition, or welcome back, I should say, for the Irish. The curiosity I have about Notre Dame and Jeremiah Love, they said he should be fine. He left the USC game with a bit of a knee injury. He was seen earlier this week with a sleeve on his leg. So we'll see. But I anticipate Jeremiah Love, who is maybe the best running back we've seen at Notre Dame in quite some time, him to be fully healthy. So
that's saying a lot because the Irish have some really talented running backs in the past 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, Audric Estime just a year ago was a record-setting one, but just the explosiveness that we've seen from Love over the years.
Phenomenal athlete. You know, you and I were at the L.A. Coliseum a few weeks ago when he hurdled a defender on the sideline, and that was one of the most impressive moves I saw the entire season.
And when you slow it down and you watch it in super slow-mo, it is pretty impressive to see. Jeremiah Love, anytime touchdown is minus 250. Riley Leonard, anytime touchdown is minus 175. I will say, I think for Notre Dame, it is important to get Curtis Rourke uncomfortable. If he's got time to throw, he is very precise, 70% completion percentage, Matt, one of the best, I think number one in the country in passing efficiency. And then you go back to Indiana, number one in the country in stopping the run. So I can't wait to watch this game. The more I dug into it, the more I got excited about this matchup between these two teams in the state championship of Indiana on Friday night.
Yeah, it is. Purdue's not contending for that this year.
I think they lost to both of them.
Yeah, I think so. And they were both lopsided games. But, you know, if you look at the Hoosiers' box scores against Michigan and Ohio State, they were held under 250 yards in each game.
Yeah.
And scored 20 against Michigan, 15 against Indiana. That plays into how I think this is going to be a low-scoring game with this Notre Dame defense potentially dominant.
All right, best bet from Matt. He's going to take the 7.5 with the Hoosiers as well as the under 52 right now. I will go over 27.5 receiving yards for Mitchell Evans, which I believe that number out there at BetMGM. Just a reminder, you know, we've been talking about these games for 2 weeks. Make sure you are a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our picks have been thrown into our picks page, VSiN.com/picks, all throughout the weeks leading up, and you get access to that with a picks email each and every day from Bill AD. All right, let's go to noon Eastern. This game will be on TNT as well as streamed on Max. It'll be an ESPN crew, but it'll be on TNT. Number 11 SMU, number 6 Penn State. Looking at this number, mostly 8.5. DraftKings has actually drifted up to 9 here in favor of the Penn State Nittany Lions. Total around 53.5, 54. This is in that sweet spot. I know Chris the Bear Felica likes to tweet out those trends. When James Franklin is a favorite of a touchdown or more and like in between 7 to 21, he thrives in this role. Does James Franklin, a.k.a. the Bully, get a cover here against SMU?
I don't know. I wish I had the answer to that, because if I did, I would unload on the game right now, Tim, and we would be rich by
by
Saturday afternoon. I wish I had the answer. I did play Penn State. I put them on a money line parlay, and that's all I've got going in this game right now. Because I don't have a good feel for this one. I'd like to say that the Mustangs are going to be live here, getting the points. And would you say the number is up to 9 at DraftKings?
9 at DraftKings, yeah.
8.5 at most spots. And obviously SMU's been much more dynamic offensively since Kevin Jennings stepped in at quarterback. He's got 27 total touchdowns. He's a dual threat. Jennings took over for Preston Stone, who was kind of ineffective early in the year. I like Rhett Lashley quite a bit. I think he's an innovative offensive coach who, you know, can find ways to make this SMU offense potent enough to give Penn State's D some problems here. But this kind of feels like a game where Penn State's just a little bit too talented. The home field's going to make a difference, and the Nittany Lions should be able to pull away, I think, in the second half of this game. Just when you watch the Penn State-Oregon Big Ten championship game, you saw the talent on display. Penn State's got plenty of talent,
oh, yeah.
Tim. There's no issues there. Nittany Lions outgained Oregon 523 to 469 in the Big Ten championship game. Put 37 points on the board. And Drew Aller is a quarterback who doesn't really turn the ball over much, though he did throw two picks in the Big Ten title game against the Ducks. When you got Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton, two of the better running backs in the nation, I think you've always got the ability to grind down a defense. And Allen and Singleton combined for 229 yards on 24 carries on the ground against the Oregon D. I think Penn State's probably going to be able to do something similar to SMU. Tim, we watched Clemson kind of go up and down the field
yep.
against the SMU defense. And that's concerning, because Penn State's certainly got, I think, a more explosive offense or a more consistent offense of what Clemson has shown this season. So I think Penn State to win the game, I feel comfortable with that. It's on a money line parlay. That's all I've done with this so far.
Yeah, interesting to know. Once again, our betting splits over at VSiN.com pretty much split right down the middle. 52% of bets on Penn State, 48% on SMU. That courtesy of DraftKings on Thursday. Just a couple notes about Penn State. You know, it's funny, because we joke on this podcast about big game James Franklin and his inability to win the big game. And if they're to win a national championship, they're going to have to beat 3 top 10 teams on their way to winning that national championship. SMU, not a top 10 team. I came away impressed in the Big Ten Championship by the performance that we saw from Penn State. Maybe not so much on the defensive side of the ball, but they utilized Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton, two really studly running backs. They incorporated them in the pass game. They combined to catch seven balls in that. And then you've got Tyler Warren, the Mackey Award winner, best tight end in the country, even though you probably could argue that Harold Fannin from Bowling Green probably should have won that award, but whatever. Tyler Warren, he's a guy they'll utilize. They'll give him the ball. They'll run it with him. They probably should have ran the ball with him at the goal line against Ohio State. But I was impressed. I think I would look at Penn State here a little bit against SMU. But ultimately, no bet for me on this one. And I would agree. I would be surprised if we saw Penn State lose this game outright noon Eastern.
I wouldn't be that surprised.
Really?
Just look at the stooge who's standing on the sideline.
Big game, I mean, James.
You could never be that surprised if Penn State loses with that guy standing over there. Come on. Now, I do think Penn State's going to win the game. -310 is what I laid on the money line here on the money line parlay. But you're right. I think Penn State's got the ability here with these running backs to grind down the SMU defense. And it would be a big surprise if the Nittany Lions don't win this game at home. But then again, if it happens, you can't be stunned. Because it's James Franklin on the sideline, and you brought up the Ohio State game, and it's mind-boggling incompetence.
Did you have a bet in that game?
Yes, I did, and I'm still ticked about it. When you think about it, it's just disgusting. It is. It's just so annoying.
Should we move on?
Okay, let's talk about a different game.
Breshad Smith, by the way, for SMU is a stud. 1,200 rushing yards this year. All right, hell might be freezing over because I saw today that Clemson went to the portal for someone of importance. Welcome William Held, the edge rusher from Purdue. This is a nice addition for Clemson. Wow, this is we got a new era here for little old Clemson going to the portal. They're moving into the 21st century, but
Will Held, the Terminator. You know, it's funny when you're watching all these Purdue players transfer to Oregon, Texas, Clemson, all these things. How the hell did this team go 1-11? And get beat by 50 points a game.
They got outscored by Notre Dame and Purdue and Indiana by 132-7. All right, let's hit on this game before we touch a break here real quickly. Right now, Clemson, a 12-point underdog at Texas, the biggest underdog of the weekend. Clemson, a team that, let's be honest, pretty fortunate to be here because they lose week one to Georgia. That doesn't really affect anything, but they lose at home to Louisville. Then they've got really no wiggle room. They lose to South Carolina in a non-conference game, Matt, but Miami gives them a gift. They lose to Syracuse, blowing a 3-touchdown lead in the regular season finale. And Clemson, all they had to do, beat SMU. They held on. They kick a 56-yard field goal as time expired. So we're going to hit a break here in just a moment. 51.5 is the total. 12 is the point spread. Texas laying 12 against Clemson here in this spot. We'll also hit on Tennessee and Ohio State on the other side of the break, as well as Ohio State, still a 7.5-point favorite. We've seen some under money come in as that sits at 46.5. So Clemson and Texas, this game will be at 4 o'clock Eastern on TNT. Can Clemson and little old Clemson and Dabo get a surprising result down in Austin? We'll break that down as well as the nightcap on Saturday of Tennessee and Ohio State. Stick with us. It's the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast. Hey, folks, after the best bet recap, stick around for a weather report. I welcome in my good friend and meteorologist here in Las Vegas, Justin Bruce, as we run through the weather forecast in South Bend, State College, Bozeman, Montana, as well as Columbus, Ohio. So a special about 6-7 minutes of extra weather for you at the back end of the podcast. Stick around here on the pod.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Thanks to all of you who have chimed in via YouTube. You can watch us live, youtube.com/VSiN Live. You can watch us live over on X as well, at VSiN Live. And we're going to continue to do some of these live shows here on social media after Christmas as we get you ready for the quarterfinals. But we still have two more first-round games to continue to break down. And mention it before the break, you've got 12th seeded Clemson came in at number 16 in the final poll at Texas. 4 o'clock Eastern, this game also on TNT and Max. And looking at this number, it is Clemson catching 12 with a total of 51.5. Not an official play, but I am intrigued by Clemson here taking the points, and maybe I'll look like a dope at the end of the day. Brad Powers, who's on VSiN Primetime Wednesday night, he actually liked the favorite here in this role. But Texas as a big favorite this year, just look at the number. They have not been covering at these big numbers. And, you know, Dabo's been here before. Is this team as talented as the one, Matt, that he had in 2018 with one of the best defensive lines we've seen in recent memory? No, but I do trust in this defense. I like Cade Klubnik. Maybe his numbers are a bit inflated because of the level of competition. I know he threw a big pick late in the South Carolina game, but I think Clemson's going to play up that big underdog role quite a bit, and I think they keep this thing competitive. So I'm going to look at Clemson. Not going to be an official play, but I think I'd be. I think I'm going to take some dog here in Clemson plus the 12.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, I'm not one to play double-digit favorites. Yep. So I'm not going to lay it with Texas here. I did play Texas on that money line parlay I was talking about with Penn State minus 440, 450. About the best price you're going to get on Texas, I think it's. Yeah, right around that price here at Circa. So just to have some action on those two favorites, which I believe are going to win and advance. But I don't have strong opinions on the side on Clemson, Texas, or really SMU, Penn State. But I do think both favorites advance. I can't blame you for taking a big number here with Clemson. I do wonder, Tim, if you wait, let's say you wait until kickoff on a Saturday afternoon, would you be able to get 13 with Clemson? You know, because the betting market has loved the Longhorns really for the last couple of years. Seems like Texas gets bet up consistently. You talked about Steve Sarkisian not covering big numbers. Texas didn't cover a small number against Georgia in the SEC championship. I think this Texas team has been overrated in the betting market most of the season, kind of like Ohio State. Now you got to look at the Clemson side here. When people talk about Cade Klubnik, quarterback for Clemson, they talk about him like he's Barney Fife or Gilligan or Tim Waltz, some sort of clumsy buffoon who can't get his act together. But if you look at his Klubnik's numbers, Tim, actually pretty good. 3,303 yards passing, 33 touchdowns.
Five for seven.
Only five interceptions. He's got seven rushing touchdowns and 458 yards on the ground. Those are actually outstanding numbers. Like you said, got to do it against the elite competition. Can you do it against an elite defense like the Longhorns have? And that's where I begin to doubt a little bit what Cade Klubnik's going to be able to do here. His numbers are outstanding for the season, actually. But what is he going to be able to do against a strong Texas defensive front? And, you know, when I say I doubt the Longhorns and think they're overrated in the betting market, to me it has a lot more to do with Quinn Ewers, a quarterback I don't really believe in, and Texas's ability to put a big number up on the board on offense against a legit defense. And we saw how the Texas offense struggled against Georgia in the SEC championship game again, how Texas struggled on offense against Texas A&M. What's your take here? Do you think the Clemson defense can step up and keep the Tigers in the game? Because that's going to be the difference here. I think Clemson's going to have trouble offensively doing much against this Texas D.
Yeah, and the more we talk about it, the more I'm kind of looking at the under here a little bit in this spot here. You know, I think back to the season opener, Clemson and Georgia, and I know that feels like millions of years ago, but the opening half was 6-0 Georgia. I mean, it was a ugly first half from an offensive standpoint for Clemson, but I felt like the defense kept them in it until the dam ultimately broke. And that, I guess, would be the worry here is, can the defense play and keep this thing close enough long enough? And I mean, Matt, you look at the game they played against South Carolina, Clemson, it was, you know, back and forth. There were turnovers. They did get eaten up a little bit by Lenora Sellers on the ground. So I guess I do think Clemson's defense can hold up long enough. You mentioned this about the SEC championship, and we ultimately didn't see Arch Manning really do anything, right? Oh. He took a snap between his legs on a fourth and one.
Crazy.
Do we see Arch Manning? Do we see more of Arch Manning in this game?
Why didn't we
and
see
should
more?
We?
Why didn't we see more of him against Georgia? See, I really don't believe in Sark either. Completely, like a lot of people have blind faith in Sark being an offensive genius. How can you not use Arch Manning more against Georgia in the SEC championship game? It's baffling to me. And especially, I know Quinn Ewers put up a big number. If you look at the box score, threw for over 300 yards. That looks great. But when you move the ball between the 20s, but can you move the ball into the end zone when you get inside the 20 when you get in the red zone? Texas couldn't do that against Georgia. That's where I think you got to put Arch Manning on the field and use him to give the defense a different look because he's such a running threat. So will Sark do that here against Clemson? I think he probably will. But to me, it comes down to can the Clemson offense do enough, Tim, to keep you within this number? Because this Texas defense could be really tough to move the ball against here.
All right, let's go to Saturday night, the final game of the first round, 8 p.m. Eastern time, ABC and ESPN. Number 9 Tennessee at number 8 Ohio State. We've seen the total tick down a little bit, down to 46.5. Spread has remained at 7.5. Interesting nuggets that I'll get to here courtesy of Matt Grill over at DraftKings Sportsbook on VSiN Primetime Wednesday night regarding this game. But Matt, you've got to play on this one. I've got to play on this one. I'll let you take the floor first with Tennessee catching 7.5 here against Ohio State.
All right, so I've got 7.5 with the Vols, and I'm a little concerned about this bet, to be honest, because this is going to go one of two ways, Tim. You're going to bet Tennessee plus 7.5, and the Tennessee defensive front's going to give Ohio State all sorts of trouble. Buckeyes with that beat up offensive line going to be ineffective running it. Will Howard's going to have problems if he's facing pressure in the pocket. He'll say, "Yep, you know, Tennessee was a bad matchup for Ohio State," or it's going to go the other way, where Tennessee is the most popular side in all four of the first-round college football playoff games, right?
Yes.
Every sports book is reporting a lopsided action on Tennessee plus 7.5. But when you look at the betting market, those 7.5s are not disappearing. And that tells you that the bookmakers are okay having liability here on the Buckeyes. So I'm conflicted on this game because the matchup tells me Tennessee is the right side plus 7.5. All your betting instincts say, uh-oh, this is a red flag.
It's a trap.
I don't want to say trap, but, you know, that's exactly what a lot of people call it with Ohio State laying 7.5. I think what I'm going to do here to cover my butt a little bit on this with Tennessee plus 7.5 is play Ohio State on a money line parlay too. To play the Buckeyes to win the game. Hopefully they win but don't cover, and that would be the ideal situation.
If this gets to 7, I might be interested in laying it with Ohio State. It does feel like the
– I don't see any 7s. I'm looking at the screen, 7.5 all over. And every book is reporting lopsided action on Tennessee.
Matt Grill on VSiN Primetime echoed the sentiments of all bookmakers out there. They will be big Buckeye fans on Saturday night. That is crazy to think. A big favorite at home, and they're going to be big fans. But what did we see last? We saw an Ohio State team as almost a 3-touchdown favorite pee down their leg against Michigan. And instead of playing in the Big Ten championship, they had to hear all of the hatred towards Ryan Day. Adam Burke has chimed in on that as well a little bit too here at VSiN. You know, people are looking to get him out of there, but the way I bet this game, I bet some under at 47. I know the 47s have been scooped up. I still would look under 46.5. But I've also pivoted to team total under for Tennessee. The person I trust the most in this game, Matt, is Ohio State D coordinator Jim Knowles. I think he's going to have a great game plan. I do not trust Nico Iamaleava on the road here. You look at his numbers in true road games, and I don't count Vanderbilt as a true road game. There were more Volunteer fans in Nashville than there were Commodore fans down there. But you look at some of the true road environments this year, and that certainly would concern me backing Tennessee here. So I'm looking maybe to lay the 7 if we get there, but I've bet under the full total, and I've also bet under the team total here. I think Ohio State wins this game. I do not anticipate them being upset. This does feel like a little bit of a trendy dog. 3 true road games at Oklahoma, at Arkansas, at Georgia. Tennessee lost 2 of those and offensively really struggled on the road at Oklahoma. So I think this is a win for Ohio State. I have not bet the side, but I will bet the team total under. There are 19.5s out there, so that's a best bet for me. Tennessee under the team total of 19.5. More on this game as well as some bowl games that we've got action on. We'll wrap up the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast on the other side of the break alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Come on back. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I was about to say moments away. Feels like moments away from the college football playoff getting started alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Tennessee and Ohio State looking over at VSiN.com and the betting splits. You had alluded to it. The most action on one side is Tennessee catching 7.5, but we have not come off that number just yet. Right now on this Thursday, 73% of bets on Tennessee.
That could be trouble for Tennessee.
So do we have the old proverbial ugly dog or dog with fleas, however you want to say it?
You know, you also have to wonder, are Ryan Day and Chip Kelly going to learn from their mistakes in the Michigan game?
Yep.
You know, we've talked about this on other VSiN shows, but the way Ohio State formed its game plan against offensive game plan against Michigan was a fatal mistake. Fell right into the trap that the Wolverines set. Chip Kelly called, 19 inside runs between the guards for a total of 18 yards. Buckeyes ran it 26 times for 77 yards. That's pitiful. 3 yards per carry, running right into the strength of the Michigan defense, and Will Howard threw 2 picks. So I don't have a lot of faith in Ohio State here, but, you know, when you see betting percentages that are that lopsided in favor of the underdog, you don't want to be on a public dog. We've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And public dogs can be the death of you, right? So that's why I'm going to cover my butt here, I think, with a little bit with Ohio State's money line. And here at Circa, a pretty good price, minus 285 on Ohio State. And who knows, that might drop a little bit by Saturday, too.
I want to play you a clip real quickly because it will be cold. And it's not like it's warm in Knoxville right now, but it will be chilly. Temps below freezing there. Not expected to snow in Columbus on Saturday night, but Nico Iamaleava, the quarterback of Tennessee from Long Beach, California, a little bit warmer than Columbus, and this is what he had to say about playing in a game like we expect on Saturday night in these cold temperatures.
Yeah, I played in the snow one time when I was in Chicago a couple years ago with my 7-on-7 team, and that was probably the coldest I played in. But it was pretty hard to play in the snow. It wasn't too bad, but, you know, it's just cold weather. We'll be ready.
He didn't sound too convinced.
He did not. I don't know about you.
It'll be cold. We'll be ready.
I guess we'll be ready. So we will see the elements there for college football. So a couple best bets we'll get to. We'll recap here at the end of the segment. Let's run through a couple bowl games, and I'll hit on Friday. This one, noon Eastern on ESPN. We've got the Cure Bowl. This one we played in Orlando, Matt. And we've got 2 conference champions going head-to-head, Ohio versus Jacksonville State. Both teams have lost their head coach, Tim Albin of Ohio. He's moved to Charlotte. Jacksonville State, of course, have lost Rich Rodriguez to West Virginia. The difference would be this. Ohio has 0 players in the portal, and their interim head coach is now their full-time head coach in Brian Smith. Jacksonville State is kind of a shoulder shrug. They've got some pieces in the portal. They're out to a 5-point favorite. So you mentioned, you know, you wanted a little action with SMU in the SMU-Penn State game along with the Texas and Clemson game. So what I did was, give me Ohio. I'm putting them on a money line parlay. I paired them with the Bobcats of Montana State, baby.
Bobcat Parlay.
Going to take it to Saturday. Okay. Stormy will be on that call, 3:30 Eastern on ABC. Shouts to Stormy. Be warm out there in Bozeman. So that'll be a little money line parlay. I think Ohio wins this game. I would lean they cover two, but you get the worst of the number here. Obviously, it was 1.5, 2. So I will take Ohio on the money line to beat Jacksonville State, who will be without Rich Rodriguez. And I will pair them with Montana State on Saturday against South Dakota. Tommy Malott.
The Bobcat Parlay.
Yeah, let's
Tim
go.
Murray, Ohio
go.
And Montana State. I'm stunned. I thought Rich Rod was going to stay at Jacksonville State the rest of his career.
I sense a little sarcasm. The Hawaii Bowl, our favorite bowl game. Christmas Eve, 8 o'clock Eastern, ESPN. Nick Nash, the should-have-been Biletnikoff winner, is not going to play for San Jose State, but the Spartans are a 3-point favorite against the Bulls of USF. We've got a reunion of sorts as Kenny Mottololo and offensive coordinator Craig Stutzman back on the island there to play in the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, and I actually laid 3 with San Jose, and I thought this was going to be a really good bet. Number got as high as, what, 10, 4.5 or 5? And now back down to 3 or 3.5. Nick Nash, not going to play in the game. Tim Murray loves to break bad news to you. If he's got your phone number, you might want to mute him on Saturdays. When something bad, you see a Tim Murray tweet pop into your, or text pop into your phone, you know it's going to be bad news. This guy delivers bad news. So he texted me 2 days ago, Nick Nash not going to play in the Hawaii Bowl. Thanks for the bad news. Nick Nash, 104 receptions, 16 touchdowns, arguably the best wide receiver in college football. Yes, that's a big hit for that San Jose bet, Tim, especially when you look at the quarterback, Walker Egett, who actually put up some big numbers late in the season. So I thought San Jose was going to be a great play here in the Hawaii Bowl at -3, and now Nick Nash, definitely have to downgrade that.
All right, let's go to the Holiday Bowl. I laid 13.5. You and I don't like laying numbers, but I couldn't help myself in this one. Could I have gotten a better number? Of course I could have. But let's run through what Washington State will be missing in this bowl game as we found out that Jake Dickert, their coach, he is headed to Wake Forest. So this is a Washington State team that will have 20-plus players in the portal, including their quarterback, John Mateer. They'll be without their head coach, their offense coordinator, their defensive coordinator, their quarterbacks coach, and their running backs coach. Syracuse, from all accounts, pretty much will play 100% full. Kyle McCord, as of now, is expected to play. Fran Brown said that we don't opt out around here. There's a 13.5 at FanDuel. I laid the 13.5 Syracuse in the Holiday Bowl against Washington State. This reminds me a little bit of the bowl game I covered last year, the Sun Bowl, when Oregon State's team basically was missing in action and Notre Dame absolutely obliterated the Beavers.
You were there.
Give me Cuse.
You were there. In fact, I remember you dumping a water cooler on top of Marcus Freeman's head after the game.
They do Frosted Flakes. It's the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Sun Bowl, one of my favorite bowls. And how about Syracuse all the way up to a 14-point favorite in most spots? Interesting story about Mateer, the quarterback from Washington State, who's transferring to Oklahoma. Did you see this? Baker Mayfield put in a call to Mateer to convince him to go to Norman. That was after Bill Belichick had Tom Brady call Mateer and try to convince him to go to North Carolina.
That.
Yeah. So, yes, he was a very wanted man as a quarterback in the transfer portal, and Oklahoma's going to get him. But Washington State's going to have a skeleton crew in this game.
Yeah, and we already saw one skeleton crew opt out of the bowl game. That would be Marshall in the Independence Bowl. Speaking of UNC, Michael Lombardi, the GM now of those Tar Heels, they play UConn in the Fenway Bowl. I bet this game 4.5 early on UConn. It's down to 2, 2.5. Brad Powers liked the under on the show on Wednesday, VSiN Primetime. I could agree with that. I don't know. Amarian Hampton's not going to play. I don't love this bet as much as I did. I like the number that I got, Matt, but a little curious. Maybe these UNC players are going to be fired up to try to impress their new coach in Bill Belichick.
It so, I mean, that sounds like a Wes Reynolds handicapping angle, Dr. Phil getting into it. Players going to want to impress Bill Belichick. I see what I see here is a big coaching mismatch. Danny Hurley is so much better than Hubert Davis.
All right, last one we'll hit before our best bets recap. Let's go to the Citrus Bowl because Wyatt Tomchak, our producer, sitting right here. Bama and Michigan. The number is kind of bouncing all over the place here. I took 11.5 with Michigan, Matt. I am not convinced that Jalen Milroe is going to play in this game. I'm not convinced he's going to be an Alabama player next year. So I think this could be like late news coming. Michigan will have opt-outs, but give me the points with Michigan here. If I lose the bet, I lose the bet. But there's clear motivational edge on Michigan's side.
You know what? There's some turbulence inside this Alabama program right now, too. And I agree
they want
with
your
you.
Money, too, apparently.
Yeah, I think there's going to be several opt-outs. Like you said, Michigan's going to have its fair share of opt-outs here, too. Wyatt, put me down for a best bet here. I'm actually going to play Michigan plus 11. I was waiting for this number. It dropped to 10.5. I was waiting for it to get back to 11. I like the Wolverines. I think they'll show up here. And who knows if Alabama's going to show up. Like you said, there's so many questions about motivation, who's going to be on the field in these bowls, but I think Michigan plus 11 is a worthwhile bet.
All right, we got about a minute left. Let's get out of here with what we do, a little best bets recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, lay it on us. What do you got?
Well, 2-0 in the bowl so far, Tim, with Memphis. That was not easy. And how about UNLV? First bowl win for the Rebels in 24 years. All right. My best bets here, Indiana plus 7.5. Indiana-Notre Dame under the total, now 52. Tennessee plus 7.5. And we're going to go Oregon over a half win in the college football playoffs. It's Oregon to win a game at minus 130. Ducks to play the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee in the Rose Bowl. And Notre Dame to win the college football playoff 10-1. I think I've got 12-1 in my pocket. Also played San Jose minus 3. It got a bad number on BYU plus 3. Tim, I really didn't think Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter were going to play in the Alamo Bowl.
All right, I'll give you my recap as we bid farewell Ohio, Montana State, the Bobcat Parlay. Notre Dame tight end Mitchell Evans over.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, let's get a little bonus segment here to the College Football Betting Podcast. And the talk of the college football world just outside of the new playoff is, hey, it's going to be cold. Could there be snow? I don't know. All I do is I go to AccuWeather.com. I don't think that's the proper way to find out the weather. Let's bring in a true meteorologist who happens to be my neighbor. He is a meteorologist from the ABC affiliate in Nevada, KTNV. He will, if you're in Nevada, you'll be watching his station. Have these games on Friday and Saturday night. It is Justin Bruce, my neighbor. What's up, Justin? How are you, brother?
Hey, Tim, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on. And yeah, it's kind of exciting to have such crummy weather in the forecast for these big, big games.
Now, I know you obviously live here in Vegas, so not too much crummy weather for us, but there will be some chilly weather. So let's run it down. Let's go Friday night, 8:00 Eastern, South Bend, Indiana. Will we see snow? Will we see wind? What are we looking like for Notre Dame, Indiana, Friday night in South Bend?
Well, yes and yes to answer your question, although the bulk of the snow in South Bend is expected Thursday night through Friday during the daytime, they'll probably have a couple, 2-3 inches on the ground. But come kickoff, about 28 degrees with a north wind, 10 to 20 miles per hour, the wind chill will be down in the teens. It's going to be cloudy and there could be a few additional snow showers during the game, but the bulk of the moisture in South Bend is going to fall Thursday night through Friday.
So no real accumulation. If we do see snow, it's maybe like flurries, something like that?
Well, you know, anytime the game is at night and you get snowflakes, especially if they're kind of lake enhanced, they may look pretty impressive on television, especially in the bright lights of the stadium. But we're not expecting a big accumulation of any additional snow during the game. So, yeah, to your point.
And then wind-wise, you mentioned, what are we looking like? And I know things can change. We're recording this on Thursday morning for those wondering. Wind-wise, is it going to be sustained winds in like 10 to 15? Could we be looking more? What are we looking like wind there?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a pretty steady supply of wind coming in from the north, which just sounds kind of miserable in real life there, downwind of Lake Michigan. But steady at least 10 to 15 miles per hour, a few gusts of 15 to 20 miles per hour. And if we do catch one of these rogue snow showers, that can sometimes generate a little bit of extra wind So we'll have to watch for that. But yeah, definitely nothing they're not used to up there in Northwest Indiana, but cold and kind of blustery and fairly miserable.
Well, enjoy Wes Reynolds. Our colleague Wes Reynolds will be in attendance there, and he'll have to be bundled up in his IU gear. All right, let's go to Saturday. Your alma mater, you're a Penn State alum. This game will kick off at noon Eastern, Happy Valley, State College, Pennsylvania. And this is really the one game where you think about a team from Dallas-Fort Worth and SMU has to travel to Pennsylvania to play this game. So maybe a little bit of an advantage for Penn State in that regard. Weather-wise in State College on Saturday afternoon, what are we looking like?
So it's going to be cold and it's going to be windy. The temperature at kickoff, mid-20s, the feels like or wind chill value is going to be in the mid-teens. And that's because they'll have some steady northwest winds at 15 miles per hour. There will be some gust at Beaver Stadium, 25 miles per hour off and on through the game. Now, the snow in State College, about an inch during the daytime Friday into Friday night. There may be a couple additional snow showers Saturday morning. Might have a few flakes toward game time. But kind of like Notre Dame, a lot of the snow, even though it's not a ton of snow, should fall before kickoff, but windy and awfully cold. I mean, those feels like temperatures in the teens during the game, even middle of the day, a lot of clouds. Like, I know I wouldn't be able to catch a football in that kind of weather.
Yeah, bundle up there in State College. So once again, to kind of reiterate, what are we looking like wind-wise there for that one?
So gust of 25 miles per hour from the northwest, and if memory serves, that's kind of a cross breeze in the stadium, which is oriented north to south. So that may push the football around a little bit. Of the four games that we're talking about, wind is probably going to be the biggest issue for this Penn State game, as well as the Notre Dame game we discussed.
All right, let's go Saturday night. This will be on your network, ABC there in Vegas, KTNV. We got Ohio State, Tennessee. This will be at 8 o'clock Eastern kickoff. Buckeyes and Volunteers. What is our weather forecast for Saturday night in Columbus?
So it's going to be awfully cold. We've got kickoff temperatures around 25 degrees at the Horseshoe. It's going to feel like the teens during the whole game. We're not expecting as much of a breeze. North winds manageable, 5 to 10 miles per hour. The moisture from the system that's really impacting all of these games, the moisture is expected to fall as rain and snow during the daytime Friday. So it should be dry and partly cloudy in Columbus Saturday night. But again, just bitterly cold, and even a little light breeze is going to accentuate that bitter feeling.
So the coldest game will be Tennessee, Ohio State.
Yeah, kickoff temperature there is 25. That is 1 degree colder than the forecast PSU kickoff temperature, and I guess 3 degrees colder than the Notre Dame Friday night kickoff temperature, but all cold.
Yeah, all cold. All right, I wanted to throw one more in for my colleague Stormy Bonatoni. She will be on the sidelines for South Dakota and Montana State. This game will be on ABC, 3:30 Eastern, I believe 1:30 Mountain Time is when this game will kick off in Bozeman, Montana. How cold is my colleague Stormy Bonatoni going to be on the sidelines there for South Dakota and Montana State?
You know, ironically, Tim, that's actually going to deliver the best weather of these four games that we're talking about. You'd think Montana in December, oh my. But Bozeman has early afternoon kickoff temperatures around 46 degrees, and they'll actually have a little bit of sun, partly cloudy, and a light breeze from the south, around 5 miles per hour. So weather up in Montana, kind of a non-issue, which is nice.
Wow, Stormy, hear that? Congratulations. You know, she was all worried about going up there, all the warmers. Justin Bruce, you can follow him on Twitter. It's his name, Justin, B-R-U-C-E, but replace the I with the number one. He's a meteorologist here in Las Vegas. He's a Penn State alum, and he's my buddy in the neighborhood here in Vegas. Justin, appreciate the insight, man.
Thank you very much for having me on, Tim. And I don't know if you have any connections, but my Nittany Lions, we need a little help. So, you know, fingers are crossed.
Yeah, there's a possibility, fingers crossed, that the Irish and the Nittany Lions could be playing each other. But a couple rounds to get through before we get there. That's Justin Bruce. Thanks, everyone, for joining us here on the podcast. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.